I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This episode, along with every episode this season, is brought to you by our sponsor, KFC. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors' 112-99 win over the Detroit Pistons. And I got to say, you know, as much fun it is to beat, you know, Dwayne Casey and the Pistons and, you know, everything like that, this is a costly, costly win, man. This is shades of that New Orleans win where you have two key guys go down to injury in a win against a team that otherwise is not that good. Like, I don't know, the Pistons, I mean, weirdly enough, they've been a pretty good offensive club this season. You didn't really notice it much tonight against a real defense like the Raptors. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I'll start with the bad stuff and go with the positives, because there's a lot of positives to talk about this game. I mean, a lot of guys had good performances, and again, it's always fun to beat Dwayne Casey. But early in the game, Marcus Gasol goes down, and I have to characterize it as a washed injury. You know, not to joke about the situation, because, you know, I love Mark. We all love Mark. He has been incredibly vital to the success of the Raptors this year. I know the numbers don't necessarily jump off the page, but we all understand how crucial he is on both ends of the floor in terms of what he brings. But it was a bit of a washed injury, man. I'm not going to lie, because it's just a guy running back in transition. Raptors, I think they turned the ball over. It became a 3-on-1 fast break. And honestly, there was no chance that Mark was even going to really deter the play, because it's a 3-on-1 fast break. But Mark's just trying to run back, and he pulls his hamstring, and he puts his hand up, and immediately asks to check out the game, and he doesn't return from there. You hate to see non-contact injuries. I don't think it's something wild like a knee or anything like that, but still, you don't want to screw around with your hamstring, especially when you're 34-year-old like Marcus Gasol, who has pretty much played like, what, 12 straight months of basketball between what he did in the summertime and also the Raptors winning the championship. That was great. And so, you know, hopefully it's nothing too serious for Mark. Nick Nurse did not have much of an update on Mark after the game. But Mark was seen limping in the locker room. So that's not great. And yeah, I mean, he's older. So, you know, who knows how long it's going to take to heal. Hopefully it doesn't take too long. But if I had to guess, I would say a couple of weeks. You know, we'll see. Again, the Raptors are going to conduct more tests tomorrow when they return back to Toronto. So that sucked. They played the majority of the game without Mark. Mark only had, let me just see here. Mark played 8 minutes. So that's unfortunate. He had two steals in that time. He, you know, as always, excellent in the post against Drummond and against Blake Griffin. But again, the man had a washed injury. And so, you know, I've had that injury, honestly. I've had that injury playing Scorsese. So, yeah, it sucks. Hopefully Mark's okay. But then the more serious one, in the fourth quarter there, end of the game, really, the Raptors kind of already had it in the bag, I would say. And the play has Norman Powell trailing, I forget which one of the Pistons, like garbage shooters, whoever it was, maybe Tony Snell, whatever. And Blake Griffin sets a screen. Now, it's a hard screen, but it's a legal screen. Like, there was nothing dirty about it. It wasn't even a moving screen. He just stood there. And Blake Griffin is like one giant bicep. So, you know, Norm runs flushed into Blake Griffin and goes down immediately holding his shoulder. He stays down for the whole possession. The Pistons are playing 4-on-5 in that, or 5-on-4 in the whole possession. Somehow they still miss. Like, Blake Griffin had a wide open three, and then I think Bruce Brown had the offensive rebound for a putback, and he missed that too. And the Raptors got the rebound, and they finally called timeout. But yeah. It sucks, man. It sucks. And then Norm apparently had his shoulder in a sling after the game. And this is the left shoulder that he hurt last year as well. Norm missed 21 games in 2018 after suffering a separation in his shoulder, in his left shoulder. So it's the same area. Hopefully it's not the same injury. But yeah, last time that happened, he was slated to miss 4 to 6 weeks, and he missed 21 games in total. So, you know, right in that 4 to 6 week timeline. So hopefully Norm is okay. It's such an unfortunate time for him to get hurt, because Norm has been balling of late. I mean, you know, shout out my guy Assad, who's coming on the podcast after this, actually. The slander god. But he tweeted out that, like, in the last 9 games, Norm Powell was averaging like 20 points a game with like 5 rebounds and a couple assists and shooting like 50% from the field and 40% from three. Just like excellent numbers all around. And he's been honestly the main factor in the Raptors winning a lot of these games of late, especially with his scoring in the absence of Fred VanVleet. And Norm was playing so well that, you know, Nurse was even talking about, you know, hey, I might change up the starting lineup. And I don't know if he would have actually followed through with it. I don't know if he was just saying that to say that, but whatever. But, you know, obviously that question is sort of put on hold until later, because even though Fred is very close to returning and probably will come back on Friday when the Raptors play the Wizards, Norm, with the way his shoulder looked and everything like that and how bad that injury looked and whatever, and the fact that there's past history on that shoulder, that could be a more long-term issue. And that just sucks, because Norm Powell, it's always the same story with him. He gets into a role, he gets some things break right for him, and then something breaks with him. And it's just unfortunate. It really is, because he's been playing the best basketball of his career. So, you know, fingers crossed for both Mark and for Norm. Hopefully they're okay. But yeah, it sucked, because in a game like this, I'd rather have a loss than to lose those two guys. So that's unfortunate. Hopefully they're okay. As for the rest of the Raptors, they played a pretty good game, I got to say. You know, a pretty determined game. The Pistons, there wasn't a blowout in this game by any means. The Pistons stayed within striking distance. You know, Dwayne Casey's teams, they play hard in regular season and then get swept in the playoffs. But, you know, they play hard in regular season. They gave great effort. And they stuck through it tonight. Like, the Pistons really did. They stuck it through. Like, the Raptors, they had this ridiculous first half where they scored 70 points. But from there on, the Pistons' defense really did clamp down. The second half, the Raptors only scored, 26 points in the third quarter and then 16 in the fourth quarter. You know, so you go from 70 points to 42 in the second half. Big difference there. And, you know, the Pistons, I don't know. I mean, they find a way to score somehow. I don't know. Like, for a while, it was Christian Wood who was dominating, and then Christian Wood got hurt, and he left the game. And then Derrick Rose got a couple of baskets here and there, and he, you know, banged his head twice and probably forgot two more letters of the alphabet. And, like, you know, man, I don't know. This Pistons team was decent. You know, they stuck with it. And obviously the Raptors weren't at their full strength. You know, they didn't have all their guys. It was a bit of a slog at times. But, you know, I think what two of the biggest things that determined this game, one, the Pistons shot 6 of 20, 35 from the field. From the three-point line, 6 of 35. That's 17%. You're just not going to win a lot of games shooting 17% in the modern NBA. The Pistons got a couple of good looks, too. And guys like, you know, Markieff Morris and Langston Galloway and Svi Mihailuk and all these other guys, they're actually not bad shooters. Like, Tony Snell has actually been shooting above 40% this year. And, of course, Tony Snell has killed the Raptors in the past because, you know, he was a member of the Bulls. But tonight, Tony Snell, 1 of 8 from the 3-point line. Blake Griffin, 1 of 5. Luke Kennard, 2 of 4. But usually, he gets more than 4 attempts. Raptors did a pretty good job defending him there. Shout out Norm on that one. Bruce Brown, 1 of 2, whatever. But Markieff Morris, 0 of 4, 0 of 4 from Derrick Rose, 1 of 6 from Langston, and 0 of 2 from Svi Mihailuk. So they only got 1 3-point basket off the bench, and I think honestly that was a big factor in the Raptors winning this game. But also, you know, the Raptors also won this game because they were so clinical in terms of their transition offense. The Raptors this year, a large part of their success has been how good and how efficient they are in terms of transition. You know, before all the injuries and things like that, or before Kyle and Serge came back, the Raptors were number one in the league in terms of you know, fast break points, and also you know, they were up there in terms of points per possession in the fast break. They haven't been as fast since those guys have come back. Obviously, they play tougher competition, who play, you know, tougher defense. But, you know, this game is a good reminder that when the Raptors can score in transition, they're going to put up huge numbers. And honestly, the Raptors didn't even shoot the ball that well on the whole tonight. They shot, like, 42% from the field overall. But they got a lot of their offense just by just playing fast. And I thought the biggest factor in that was Kyle Lowry, who played an awesome, awesome, awesome game. This is like, you know, peak Kyle Lowry in terms of when he's on, when he's locked in, when the game is, you know, coming to him like that. He has his, you know, fingers on every single possession, and he just controls the whole game. Like tonight, you look at the box score, that's not a lie here, man. 20 points for Kyle Lowry, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, a block, 3 triples in 39 minutes, plus 15 in that time. First off, Kyle loves to get up and play the Pistons. You know, he had a 30-point effort against the Pistons last year. You know, especially with Dwayne Casey on that side, you know, Kyle wants to get up there and do some things to good old Case. Yeah, Kyle was great tonight, especially pushing the fast break early in the game. The first half of the game was much more free-flowing. Second half was much more of a grinded-out, you know, slugfest, you know, trading possessions and a half-court, things like that. First half, though, the Raptors really did get out in transition, and Kyle was the main driver with that, you know, kicking ahead to OG, who was great in the first half, you know, kicking it out ahead to Pascal, working the pick-and-roll with Serge. I mentioned, you know, one of the positives coming out of that Cavs game, which was just an terrible game otherwise, was that Kyle and Ibaka got a couple of pick and roll combinations off, and it's like, hey, maybe that can work. You know, we'll see against a legitimate NBA competition eventually, because the Cavs are, you know, just there to collect a check. But you know, we'll see if it works. But hey, you know, the Ibaka Lowry combination and the pick and roll, I've said in the past, it should be good for about 10 points a game. It's probably good for 10 points a game tonight. They were definitely in lockstep, and I thought Kyle just was excellent all around. You know, when the Raptors get in the fast break, Kyle is usually in the middle of that. And it never really made sense to me that with Kyle coming back, that would slow down the team. If anything, Kyle is the one that's keeping the team going and going and going. So I think he's really found his rhythm. I thought, honestly, the game against Brooklyn, that was a really good, measured, controlled game from Lowry. Last game against Cleveland, same kind of deal. And tonight, same deal. All three of those games, he's had high assist numbers. I think, you know, the Raptors are kind of in trouble when Kyle has those, like, 4 assists, 5 assist nights. And whereas when they have, like, 10 assists from Kyle, it's a sign that he's in control. He's feeding the right guys. He's working around the main guys like Pascal, who has, you know, really come to life in the last couple of games here. And, of course, when Pascal can be the number one guy, then Kyle can settle into the number two guy and be good. And, honestly, you know, one of the things that Kyle has done since coming back is, like, you know, Kyle on the bench. It's happening again. And it happens all the time, and it's happening yet again. You know, Kyle with the bench. And he's getting random pieces of work with, man. Like, okay, Ibaka's usually there, and he can usually work the pick and roll with Ibaka for a good shot. But it's like, McCaw will get in there, Terrence Davis will get in there, Rondé will get in there. You know, weirdly enough, OG will show up, and then Norm will show up, and then Boucher. And it's like, all these random combinations. Rondé, Hollis, Jefferson got some minutes as well tonight. You just never know. You never know. But Kyle somehow makes it all work. And, you know, that's the Kyle Lowry we know and love. So Kyle had a great game. I thought Pascal had a really nice game tonight. 26 points, 10 of 23 shooting from the field, 6 of 11 from 3. Two things with Pascal. So one, he was hot, really, really hot early in the game. He hit 3 threes to begin the game, and that's usually a good sign for Pascal. If he hits his first couple of jumpers, then you probably know, like, he's going to have a nice night. He's going to put up a lot of points, and he's going to be engaged throughout. I wish it wasn't necessarily the case that he needed to hit a couple of jumpers to maintain his confidence, but it's also natural. You know what I mean? When you start hitting shots, you start wanting to hit more shots. But yeah, Pascal hit 3 threes in the first quarter, including one where it was like 4 seconds left, last possession of the quarter. Raptors had like 4 seconds left. Inbounded the ball, Pascal lifts up to the top of the floor, and I forget who was guarding him, but Pascal just rose up and splashed the three. I think 6 threes also might be his career high. I know he's hit a 5 a couple of times this year and also last year. 6 is definitely a nice number to see from Pascal. And honestly, if Pascal's hitting 6 threes, I don't know what you do against them, really, because, like, you know, the Pistons did a really good job of shutting off the paint, and they had the personnel to do so. You know, Blake Griffin is a brick wall in there, and then, of course, Drummond is an actual rim-protecting presence. You know, it's not always that he's a effective rim protector in the sense that his instincts aren't always good and doesn't always give great effort, but if he's there and if he's jumping and if he's giving effort, he is a very, very effective shot blocker. And we saw that tonight in the fourth quarter where Pascal came off the high screen, took off down the lane, rose up with 2 hands, tried to finish strong over Drummond, and just got blocked. And, yeah, you know, so I thought, honestly, Pascal, when he hits jumpers like this, it's over. I said in the last podcast, like, if he hits jumpers, it's over for you. You know, it's still a bit of a question for me as to, well, not a bit. It's a big question for me as to how Pascal's going to get his offense if he's not getting to that spin move, which he got to one time in the post today against Tony Snell. But for the most part, it wasn't like he was dominating in the post. If he's not getting into that spin move in the post, and if he's not hitting his outside jumper, which sometimes it happens, it really does. Then what is he doing for you in the half-court offense? And that's where there's a bit of question, because you look at it, two things stick out for this box score. The fact that he took 11 three-pointers is good. I mean, he hit six of them. That's a very efficient night. But at the same time, most nights you don't want Pascal shooting 11 jumpers, plus the fact that he took a couple mid-range ones, a couple of those are ill-advised. So that stands out. And also, he took zero free throws. And this is becoming more and more of an issue, man. Pascal, so I looked it up. There's like, you know, out of the top 18 scorers in the NBA, Pascal is about 15th, just a bit over Andrew Wiggins. Nobody else in the NBA scores more than 25 points a game and averages less than five free throw attempts per game. And it's especially strange because Pascal's not one of those guys that gets the 25 points like a Kemba Walker by shooting a bunch of jumpers, and so maybe he doesn't get fouled. Like, Pascal's going into the paint and he's trying to score. But also, I also don't think it's like one of those weird referee conspiracy things, because it's like, A, Pascal spins away from the contact a lot. He's actually trying to play away from the contact, which is never going to earn you free throws. And B, I just don't think that he's doing enough in terms of, like, faking people out, you know, putting people in bad positions. You know, like the way DeMar used to just, like, get the up fake and then, like, jump into a guy or whatever. He's not doing any of that stuff, which is good in a sense, because he's not wasting possessions trying to bail people out, because honestly, half the time, you know, DeMar did for a pump fake and then jumped into the guy, and then he would miss the jumper, and the call wouldn't come, and then he would yell at the referee up on the floor, and then wouldn't get back in transition. Like, at least that stuff's not happening, at least not to the same degree as it did with DeRozan. But, you know, there just isn't that savvy, that natural, like, I'm going to draw contact and whatever. And, you know, Pascal takes a lot of contact. So, but it's weird, because it is cutting down on his efficiency. On a night like tonight, where, you know, he's hitting six threes, and he's shooting 10 of 23 from the field, if he gets a couple more free throws, this is easy a 30-point game. And if it's a 30-point game from Pascal, then maybe it's a blowout a little bit earlier. Maybe if it's a blowout a little bit earlier, you could cut down on some of the minutes for guys like Kyle, who played 39 tonight. Who knows? But, you know, it's, again, I think it's an area of development that he can work on. I think one thing that could really help him, I mean, you know, whatever. You don't always have to just, like, bait people for free throws. I would rather him get those honestly. I don't want to see, you know, Harden ball or whatever, but or Lou Williams ball even. But, like, you know, I would like to see Pascal in terms of just, like, if he can sharpen his handle so he can dribble into tighter spaces and put people into under pump pressure. Like, for example, that's what Jimmy Butler does a really good job of, is that he really dribbles and gets into spots where it's painful for the defense, and defenders are usually jumping on her or whatever, and that's how he draws contact and stuff like that. I think if Pascal sharpens his handle, he can get into tighter spaces. Right now, his handle is good, but not necessarily good enough to, you know, weave in and out of traffic and draw contact that way. Or Pascal, you know, bulks up just a little bit, and so he can sort of, like, play that Blake Griffin game of sort of bumping and going through people and getting foul calls that way. But on the whole, really nice night for Pascal. The six threes is amazing, especially since the fact that he hit two threes in the fourth quarter, you know, and one that really just did seal the game. So I liked what I saw from Pascal. I liked what I saw from OG. A lot of it came in the first half. He didn't really sustain it into the second half, which you would want to see from him. But you can't complain for 19 points from OG Anunoby in 35 minutes, 7 to 12 from the field. OG also played a lot of crucial key defense. Now, OG and Pascal were both in foul trouble. The referees were really on one tonight. The Raptors got called for 20 fouls. Pascal had 5. OG had 4. Pascal and Kyle got technical fouls. Drummond and Blake Griffin got technical fouls. Like, it was just a whole thing. And of course, a couple guys got injured too. You know, you look at Wood, you know, Derrick Rose hitting his head. You know, his SAT is going to be like 300 now. And you know, you got Norm getting hurt, and also Marc Gasol. Like, it's just unfortunate. And the game just really felt like undisciplined, whatever. But Siakam bad foul trouble, OG valid foul trouble. But OG still took on a lot of difficult assignments. You know, he guarded Blake Griffin for a lot of it, especially in the second half. Blake, 15 points. on 6 of 13 shooting. Definitely not at his best. I would say that Blake's also coming back from injury, so he didn't look like physically at his best. He wasn't as aggressive as he normally is. And the Raptors double-teamed him, but still, OG did a really good job guarding him one-on-one. Didn't give up too much room in terms of the post-up. And it's actually kind of funny because OG is definitely more of a small forward than Pascal, who is definitely more of a power forward. But OG has, like, probably the strongest legs on the team. Maybe Mark, but I don't really know even. Like, OG's legs are just, like, you know, pistons. You know, pardon the pun. Like, he is very, very strong in the post. And so, you know, he can even stand up guys like Blake Griffin. Only guy that really dominated OG this year was not even Giannis. Who was it the other night that played him really well? I forget. There was somebody in the post that just, like, ran over OG. Oh, Kawhi. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Forgot about him. Yeah, Kawhi is really strong as well. But, you know, honestly, OG did a pretty good job defensively. And also offensively, he was really hot in the first half. First quarter, he came out completely, you know, just guns blazing. First possession of the game, the Pistons get lost in transition. I don't even know how you get lost in transition in the first play of the game. It's not even transition. But OG comes in uncontested for a dunk. You know, he pulls out the spin move on... what's his name? Tony Snell, and scores. Honestly, I'm sure Pascal was smiling when he saw that. He had Drummond on a switch, crossed him up, drove right by him, no help at the rim, two-handed dunk. OG also hit some threes, including one where the ball kind of got tipped to the backcourt. OG went to save it. Less than 5 seconds left on the shot clock, comes up to the front court, launches a 30-foot three and swishes it. Amazing. And also hit a three in the second half. Also had an and-one post-up over Snell. Again, Snell, man. I can't believe this guy starts. But, you know, OG was great. He was great. And he keeps showing you these flashes. I always say with OG, he keeps showing these flashes. Is he going to be number one guy someday? Probably not. Almost guaranteed not. Is he going to be number two guy? Probably not either. But honestly, like, right now he's like the fourth option in the starting lineup. He's very, very qualified to be a fourth option, man. He's been very efficient all season. And you know, in terms of, like, people worried about, hey, can the Raptors replace, like, the concern at the point was Danny Green. Like, can, you know, okay, so Pascal's got to replace a lot of what Kawhi does, you know, at least OG to replace a lot of what Danny Green does. Honestly, OG this year, probably better than what Danny Green would have given the Raptors, right? Like, 11 points per game from him, 50% shooting from the field, 39% from three on almost four attempts per game. He's also giving you rebounds and assists, you know, more than a steal a game, about a block a game, you know, playing 30 minutes a game. That's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good. And, you know, I know OG and Danny are friends. They're close. You know, they're going to go double date at Rabba's and stuff like that. But, and, you know, Danny really did take OG under his wing a little bit. But honestly, like, I haven't even thought of Danny that much. Just because of how well OG's filled in his role, and he's really stepped into it. Like, for comparison, Danny shot better from three last year, obviously, 45.5% from three. That was amazing. But OG was better from two-point range. You know, OG shot 50% from the field. Danny shot 46% from the field. OG's averaging 11 right now. Danny averaged 10 last year. You know, OG has more steals, more blocks, you know, more assists, more rebounds. Like, you know, OG's doing the damn thing. So I'm really proud of OG, and I'm very intrigued by what else he has to show us. It seems like there is more in the potential there. And then the last guy I want to focus on, Serge Ibaka, man. Yo, this guy had... Where has this been? Where has this been with Serge Ibaka? I'm so happy that he finally played up to his potential. Now, I'm not saying he's going to have 25 and 13, you know, the next game out. But especially with Mark going down, Ibaka came in. Filled in, I would thought, very admirably. He did a really good job guarding Andre Drummond for the most part. One or two possessions here, he got bullied, whatever. I mean, Drummond's way stronger, and Ibaka, you know, is more of a power forward, you know, in terms of his strength. But, man, Ibaka was very good. He stepped up. I mean, he did the work of both Gasol and Ibaka by himself. He did the work of two. 25 points on 10 of 18 shooting, 13 rebounds. I loved his energy from the jump. I thought Pat McCaw, actually, of all people, did a really good job of finding Ibaka, you know, working that pick and roll. McCaw hitting Ibaka with the bounce pack, Ibaka rising up for the jumper, hit those, you know, had a lot of time playing alongside Kyle Lowry and filled those. You know, Kyle hit him with a head-to-head pass where Serge Ibaka dunked. You know, Kyle's very good at spoon-feeding Serge. That's why it was a little weird when the two of them weren't clicking early on. It's like, come on, out of all the guys, you two should really click. And they are clicking, and this is back to, you know, what we should normally see from the two of them. But, you know, once Ibaka got a couple of shots going, like, he started being real active. I love the way he approached the game offensively. Definitely was not afraid to shoot. I mean, he was second in the team in shot attempts, second in the team in scoring. And especially with Norm out, like, yo, someone needs to take those shots. And on the bench, honestly, no one else on the bench is really qualified to score like that. So Serge really stepped up. And honestly, he got so engaged and so active. This man was beating Andre Drummond for offensive rebounds and then, you know, hitting putbacks and stuff like that. You know, like, you look at it tonight, 7 offensive rebounds on Serge Ibaka against a team like the Pistons who have pretty good rebounders, pretty big, you know, bigger across the board than the Raptors, especially without Marcus Gasol in the lineup. But the Raptors actually, thanks in large part to Serge and also to Kyle, shout out Kyle, by the way, who had 3 offensive rebounds, I think all in the second half. But thanks in large part to Serge, the Raptors actually out-rebounded the Pistons in terms of offensive rebounds. So, you know, Great stuff. You know, and I thought Ibaka brought the energy. And, man, if him and Lowry can get going, if Ibaka is in the starting lineup, if Gasol is out for a little bit, you're at least comfortable with the fact that Ibaka can be in there and fill in as a starter. Because we've seen it, man. Ibaka as a starter with Kyle Lowry, like, his scoring numbers about to surge. I mean, you know, again, no pun intended. Because, like, yo, those two really have a nice chemistry together. And I'm really happy to see it come back. So that was great. And the last thing is, I gotta say, in terms of the KC bucket of the game, tonight I'm gonna give it, it's a clutch bucket, and it was the silencing bucket, the crowd silencing bucket, where, you know, the play, it was in the fourth, actually, you know what, Pascal had 2 of these KFC buckets, so one of them, in the fourth quarter there, Pascal is in front of the Pistons bench, the ball gets kicked out to him, Pascal rises up for 3, and as that's happening, a couple guys on the Pistons bench, I don't know who they are, because, I mean, bro, who was on the Pistons bench? But they stood up and they like try to yell in his ear and try to disrupt the shot or whatever. I'm sure Dwayne Casey did said a little something too. And Pascal calmly switches it, and then Pascal turns around and stares him down. And then later in the game, with about, what, 2-3 minutes left in the game, you know, the ball swings back out to Pascal, who is a couple of feet behind the 3-point line, you know. And yeah, Pascal rises up, swishes the jumper, and, you know, That made the game, what, 110-96. Raptors had a 14-point advantage. It's a 27-foot-3 from Pascal Siakam. And that was it. That was the game. So those are your KFC buckets of the game. Definitely clutch baskets from Pascal in the fourth quarter. And Pascal was on one, man. His 3-point shooting was great. And then the last thing before I go to 3 stars is I got to give Nick Nurse a lot of credit. He had to manage the foul trouble here with his starting wing players, OG and Pascal, both in foul trouble. More importantly, with Pascal. So what Nick Nurse did at halftime was make an adjustment. He took Pascal off of Blake Griffin. Obviously, Blake Griffin is a very physical player. It's very easy to pick up fouls against him. Switched Siakam off Blake Griffin onto Bruce Brown, who is like the least effective defender or least effective offensive player on the floor. You know, shifted everyone else around. Kyle then guarded Luke Kennard. You know, OG then guarded Blake Griffin. You know, made more sense, honestly, to have OG against Griffin since OG is stronger. But because Pascal was on Bruce Brown, that allowed Pascal to play better help defense because you can kind of leave Brown alone. He's not really much of a scoring threat. And so Pascal was able to get to 4 blocks and a steal largely because he can just roam around and be a help defender. And that's honestly when Pascal's at his best. His on-ball defense this year admittedly isn't as sharp as it could be. But as a help defender, I mean, you know, he's still, a hyper-athletic 6'9" forward with, like, a 7'3" wingspan. Like, yo, this guy can move around and do some things defensively and make plays. And tonight, I mean, the steal and 4 blocks was really good. And the blocks was really good, too, because the Raptors needed a way to, you know, pack the paint against guys like Griffin and Drummond and needed extra bodies. And Pascal did a really good job of filling in on that front. So, in terms of your 3 stars, Kyle Lowry, obviously number 1 star, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, a block in 39 minutes, you know, plus 15 from the field. Was he always able to make his own shots? No, not necessarily, especially with the paint being so clogged. But he got to the free throw line, you know, by hook or by crook, got to 8 free throw attempts, you know, hit 3 threes, and was just very good at you know, just managing all aspects of the game. I really enjoyed this effort from Kyle. Second start, giving that to Pascal Siakam. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 4 blocks, 10 of 23 from the field, 6 of 11 from 3. I want to see those free throws go up, but ultimately you hit 6 threes. I got no complaints at all with Pascal Siakam. And then your third star, Serge Ibaka, Mafuzi Chef, 25 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 10 of 18 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. Aggressive, the 7 offensive rebounds, especially against a team like the Pistons, with such great rebounders on their team, is very impressive. It's a reflection of what he can do when he plays with some energy. So I like this effort from him. I want to see more of it. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, I know I just said Bruce Brown isn't much of a threat, but, you know, as a guy that the Raptors left alone many times, sort of, you know, by design, it didn't always work because, you know, I got to give him credit too. You got to give a guy like Bruce Brown credit because he's getting ignored by the defense. So he's got to be able to sneak around to the right spots to get open. He's a little Rondé-esque in the sense that he does have a very good sense of where to cut and stuff like that. So Bruce Brown, in 20 minutes tonight, 5 of 8 from the field for 12 points. You know, it's pretty efficient with his offense. I mean, he had 4 turnovers. That's not great. But, you know, he did annoy me once in a while because he would sneak by and you know, find a crevice and you know, whether it was doubling Blake Griffin or doubling Andre Drummond or whatever was going on, Bruce Brown was usually open, and he actually found a couple ways to score. So, shout out to Bruce Brown. And then in your Pat Patterson Award, I guess I'll give it to Blake Griffin. I mean, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. It's, you know, not nearly Blake Griffin at his best, but I will give that a caveat that Blake's coming back from injury and stuff like that, so he's not 100%. But, definitely wasn't the best Blake Griffin. We've seen Blake Griffin have some really nice games against the Raptors in a Pistons jersey. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to KFC for sponsoring the show. And I'll be back on Friday to recap the Raptors game against the Wizards. And also, if you want more podcasting content, I'm also about to record an episode with Assad, the Slander God. So look out for that. That's all going to be on the Raptors Over Everything podcast feed.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.